This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. As some New England fishermen struggle under intense quota cuts, the industry is fearing another political move that could prove to have devastating consequences to the industry. There's an effort to designate Cash's Ledge, a historically important fishing area, as a National Marine Monument. This would require a presidential order and would effectively close the area to all commercial activity. WBUR's Kainat Khan has the story.
This was kelp quite unlike anything I'd seen anywhere else. And not only the height and thickness and lushness, but the colors.
Brian Scarry is an underwater photographer who has explored some of the most stunning ocean environments in the world. He's describing a kelp forest about 80 miles off the coast of Cape Ann. It grows from the tip of a ridge that rises from the ocean floor, called Cash's Ledge.
Very rich shades of gold and amber mixed in with a reddish crimson color. It was like being in a living kaleidoscope.
Cash's Ledge supports a variety of fish, animal, and plant species, including sea anemones, sharks, sponges, and even right whales. John Whitman is a marine biologist at Brown University. He's been studying Cash's Ledge for decades.
There's up to 500 times greater fish abundance on Cash's, so it's spectacularly different than the coastal Gulf of Maine.
Whitman says the area is also a productive habitat for commercially important fish, like cod and pollock, and that made it a historically attractive area for fishermen. But that abundance of fish is the source of Cash's current problem. Environmental groups and commercial fishermen recognize the unique beauty, ecological, and commercial importance of Cash's Ledge. But the two have long been at odds over how to balance environmental protection and the economic viability of the industry. Environmental advocates want the area to receive special permanent protection through a presidential order creating what's known as a marine monument. But that would mean fishing would be prohibited. Whitman says it is a reasonable request.
Realistically, we're talking about an area that's half the size of Rhode Island. There are marine monuments in the Pacific Ocean that are the size of California. So we think what we're asking for is not a large demand.
The New England Fisheries Management Council, which regulates the fisheries, already closed the area to most fishing 13 years ago. And the council is weighing heightened environmental protections for parts of the Cash's Ledge closed area. But that isn't enough for some advocates.
We know those regulations are not permanent.
Priscilla Brooks is the Ocean Conservation Director of the Conservation Law Foundation.
And also, the Fisheries Management Council does not have the authority to protect the full ecosystem.
For example, Brooks says the council couldn't stop commercial activities such as sand and gravel mining or natural gas exploration. And Brooks says the closure could even benefit the fisheries in the long run.
Protected areas allow fish populations to grow and spill out of the protected areas and really provide more fish for fishermen.
Fishermen don't see it that way. They see it as another attempt to make their jobs more difficult and their livelihoods more precarious.
This is the 61 hump.
Tommy Testaverde is the captain of the fishing vessel Midnight Sun in Gloucester. He gives a group of Nigerian fishermen a tour of his boat. They look at the vessel's screens and radar, and he tells them about a closed area that's marked on a map.
Okay. Why don't you go in there? Why is it closed?
They go in there, you lose your boat, you lose your house, your firstborn, secondborn.
Testaverde says he once entered a closed area years ago by mistake. A Coast Guard cutter came steaming up to his boat. And he got off with a warning.
The biggest fear of most of us fishermen around here is to make an honest mistake. And that was an honest mistake. And it's a big fear because, like I said, they want everything you have after, you know. They want to put you out of business. That's my belief.
It's clear from listening to fishermen that they're ambivalent about the fisheries management process. They feel like the rules are stacked against them. But they abide by the council's decisions because that is the process they have signed on to. The presidential order would fall outside that process. Jackie O'Dell advocates for New England ground fishermen with the Northeast Seafood Coalition. She says the fisheries management process is public and transparent, and decisions are data-driven, goal-specific, and reached through compromise.
You know, there's legislation that's out there to protect this process, and if we don't want to use that process, what are we doing and why? Why are all stakeholders, states, fishermen, ENGOs, scientific community, all engaging in a process that at the end we're going to say it doesn't matter?
But she adds the fishing industry and environmental groups don't have to be adversaries. Fishermen are also concerned about mining and natural gas exploration. John Whitman, the longtime Cache's ledge researcher, agrees.
In the long run, I think we want the same thing. We both value a healthy, resilient ocean that can support fisheries.
But the sticking point might be one of perspective. Many fishermen, including Tommy Testaverde, entered this profession because it's what their families had been doing for generations. They take immense pride in their work and their heritage. They fear a future in which their descendants won't experience that. Brian Scarry, the photographer, fears a future in which one of Earth's beautiful places is irrevocably damaged. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Kainat Khan.